This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, July 31st. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Exporting California's methane success. L.A. loses MedFi quarantine. And Schumer challenges GOP on tax bill. China could learn from California's methane success. California has led the world in reducing methane emissions from dairy manure, offering valuable lessons for China. That, according to a new report, the California-China Climate Institute at UC Berkeley calls it essential for China to mitigate methane emissions from rice and manure to achieve its goal of carbon neutrality by 2060. The two sources contribute about half of the methane emissions from agriculture in China. The report pointed out that California has leveraged its own investment to fund mitigation projects and put the state on track to reduce methane emissions 40% by 2030. The top researchers commend CDFA for providing a, quote, one-stop shop for information on government financing through its website. The state has also established a methodology for tracking carbon offsets for rice cultivation that could serve as a model for China. Keep in mind, the chair of the institute is former Governor Jerry Brown, who enacted the methane goal and whose administration launched the grant programs. Vice chair of the institute is Mary Nichols, who led the Air Resources Board during that time. L.A. cleared from MedFi quarantine. CDFA has ended a Mediterranean fruit fly quarantine for Los Angeles County. The department placed a portion of the county under quarantine last October after detecting two flies in the Leimert Park neighborhood. In partnership with the USDA, it launched an emergency response program and dropped millions of sterile flies over the county to halt the infestation. The outbreak follows the detections, likely the largest in the state since the 1980s. Schumer dares GOP to support tax bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York is challenging Republican colleagues to vote for a House-passed tax bill that includes an expansion of the child tax credit and improvements in expensing provisions that are popular with farmers. Schumer noted that House Ways and Means Chairman Jason Smith of Missouri led negotiations on the legislation, and the Democratic leader called the bill pro-family, pro-children, pro-growth. Key Senate Republicans have argued that the tax debate should be left to next year when the provisions of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire, and the GOP could be back in control of the chamber. By the way, Republican leaders didn't address the tax bill at their weekly news conference yesterday, but Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, who chairs the Republican Policy Committee, rapped the Internal Revenue Service that over findings from an analysis of back taxes owed by agency employees. Ernst said 5,800 IRS employees owe a total of $50 million in back taxes. She said, quote, why are we hiring people that won't even live by their own agency rules? IRS had about 83,000 full-time equivalent positions in fiscal 2023. Don't miss the AgriPulse weekly newsletter today. We're digging into comments USDA has gotten about eligibility standards for biofuel tax incentives. Other stories include a look at the challenge the FCC faces in finding rural broadband expansion in the wake of a key appeals court decision. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Head of Project 2025 steps down. The head of the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 has left the conservative organization after the Trump campaign and particularly
Donald Trump himself, distanced themselves from the initiative. Paul Dans, a former Trump administration official, has resigned, but Heritage says the work to put its stamp on a future Trump administration will continue. Heritage didn't respond to a request for comment, but Heritage President Kevin Roberts said in a statement on X, quote, "Our collective efforts to build a personnel apparatus for policymakers of all levels, federal, state, and local, will continue." Take note, the Trump campaign cheered the departure, perhaps wishfully thinking Project 2025 would just go away. President Trump's campaign has been very clear for over a year that Project 2025 had nothing to do with the campaign, did not speak for the campaign, and should not be associated with the campaign or the president in any way, the statement said. Wildfire Caucus and Senate Ag members meet to discuss wildfires. Two Senate Ag Committee members yesterday met with members of the Senate Wildlife Caucus to discuss a series of recommendations that to improve wildfire efforts that were included in a report released by the Wildland Fire Mitigation and Management Commission last year. Senate Ag Ranking Member John Bozeman of Arkansas and Committee Democrat Michael Bennett of Colorado both attended the meeting. Senate Wildlife Caucus Chair Steve Daines of Montana and Alex Padilla of California were there as well. The meeting also included three former members of the commission, including American Property Casualty Insurance Association CEO David Sampson, Denver Water Senior Watershed Scientist Madeline McDonald, and retired Ventura County, California Fire Chief Bob Roper. The final word? Well, reports of Project 2025's demise would be greatly welcomed and should serve as notice to anyone or any group trying to misrepresent their influence with President Trump and his campaign. It will not end well for you. Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles speaking of the Trump campaign. CDC wants to vaccinate livestock workers against seasonal flu. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, putting $5 million toward vaccinating livestock workers across the country for seasonal flu. The move is designed to make it less likely the H5N1 virus will mutate and become more transmissible. Such dual infections, while rare, could potentially result in an exchange of genetic material between the two different influenza viruses, seasonal and H5, in a process known as reassortment, CDC Principal Deputy Director Nirav Shah said. In theory, he said, reassortment could lead to a new influenza virus that could pose a significant public health concern, a virus that has the transmissibility of seasonal influenza and the severity of H5N1. Shah said $2 million will go to pay for vaccines for the approximately 200,000 livestock workers in the U.S. The remaining $3 million will help states implement the program. Keep in mind, in Colorado, 10 people have been infected with avian flu, most of them poultry workers. About half of the state's dairies have reported infected cows. Well, here's today's She Said It. If we had a healthier timber market, it would be easier to make this stuff pay its own way and be less of a subsidized endeavor. That Susie Coker, UC Cooperative Extension Forestry and Natural Resource Advisor for Central Sierra. Coker has published a new report assessing forest restoration projects in California. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, July 31st, brought to you by Robo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.